Welcome back, everybody. Here we are on the eve of our mother's drop, Taylor Allison Swift. It is the eve of the Tortured Poets Department. So if you celebrate the holiday that is coming, let it be. I am your host today. It is Brian, and I am absolutely excited to talk about these two bangers of an episode of Chainsaw Man. So let's get into it.
What's up, everyone? I definitely forgot what happens in these two episodes. We went from, like, chill to not chill very quickly, so excited to talk about it as well.
Likewise, the continuation of some of my favorite moments in Chainsaw Man, and some of my least favorite, too, and we'll get there.
Oof. Yeah, there are some questions on that scene, so we'll talk about that in a minute. But starting off, Denji straight up yeets himself into the Eternity Pit right away, but not before making some choice words. Let's just talk about how Denji opened this episode for us and how you felt about it.
I mean, this sequence is, like, so incredible. He just, like, does not give two Fs about anything. And honestly, like, the rapid speed that these opulent visuals that we talked about last time just, like, shifted to, like, extreme gore, dark, gritty organs. Like, it was really nasty. But he's having the time of his life. And they're all watching him up there, like, all the rest of the crew and mostly Jimeno. And they're like, oh, he's, like, crazy, crazy. They're like, You know, but I appreciate, like, the nod to, like, Aki jumping in there and then Denji, like, being on his absolutely unhinged shit down in this eternity pit. He's like, I like cutting you because it reminds me of strawberry jam. And I'm like, okay, well, you'd be the only one. So there's that.
Yeah, I agree. I found that particular line super funny because he was eating the devil to, like, get some of his strength back. And he's like, your blood tastes disgusting, but hearing you cry makes it taste like strawberry jam. And I was like, Denji. Whoa there, kid. Like, you've gone really off of the deep end real quick. It was a fantastic scene, though. I think the action sequences in Chainsaw Man, I think I've touched on this already, are, like, really, really spectacular and really, really well done. You can tell that a lot of thought and effort is going into this show with these moments. And yeah, it is very gory. I like to say that 10 years ago, Hannah would probably not touch the show with a 10-foot pole, but welcome to what Hannah is like now that she watches anime, especially with Attack on Titan being her first one. Thanks, Attack on Titan, for making me this way. It was good. I enjoyed it.
And her nickname in between us is sometimes known as a Haname. So there's a fun fact for you all listening. So one thing I will say about that scene is I really like the words he said before this. It sounded really weird in English because he used the phrase even Steven, but he's like, we're even Steven after I get out of here. How dare you take the blow for me? And I thought that that was just really cool that, like, he doesn't want to owe anyone anything, which is super interesting, just because he's, like, had debt all of his life, and, like, now it was his chance to escape, if you will. So that was really cool. But after that action scene, we jump into a graveyard scene where they talk about the successful types of hunters and devil hunters. What does it mean to be a truly successful and feared devil hunter?
Gotta have a few screws loose, just like Denji was showing off there. Also, side note, in Japanese, this man, which I don't think they've said his name yet. I know his name, but I don't think they've actually revealed it yet. So I won't say it just in case people are watching the show along with us. Same voice actor as Nanami. Kenjiro Tsuda.
Oh, yeah.
What an amazing voice actor. He's got that buttery smooth. It is his voice. Yeah. Anyway. Absolutely what he said, though. You have to be crazy to survive. He was telling Jimeno that all of her former partners that had passed away were good stand-up people, and they were normal because they actually got scared, you know, when the devils were around, and the devils could feed off of that. So you genuinely have to be kind of crazy in order to do this and to be able to fight without being really scared. So that's what it means to be a successful hunter, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'll even take it a step further and say, yeah. It's not only that you can't be afraid, which would be the rational reaction to these situations, you have to be completely, I think, detached from a true sense of reality. You have to be, like he said, you have, like, I think it's more than a couple screws loose to, like, actually be successful in a long term, and who knows what long term is for these people. You need to be insane, because in order to not be afraid, I don't think that you can be connected to that reality. And that makes me a little bit nervous for some of our characters that are hunters, because the only person who we've seen that seems to have a couple screws loose is Denji, and maybe Makima. Not sure what's going on with Makima yet. We can talk about that more later, but like Aki, for example, makes me a little bit nervous because he seems pretty balanced for the most part. And maybe there is something that we haven't seen yet. You know, maybe we haven't seen him like fully tap into his crazy just yet, but so far he seems to be pretty level-headed. So that makes me a bit nervous on his behalf because he is not anything like Denji. We've said that a million times. He's not anything like Power. Power also has definitely more than a few screws loose, so it makes sense that the two of them would be recruited for this effort. And it makes sense that you, in theory, can't be afraid, because the fear then lends to greater power for these devils that they're fighting. However, what this unnamed mystery man does tell us, too, is that these devils almost seem afraid of them. Like, this devil almost seems afraid of Denji. And we hear that, like, a couple more times. And that's interesting, because Denji's also kind of a devil. And if the devil's afraid of him, how much more powerful is he getting then in the course of this fight? So he probably really can take on the Gun Devil, like Himeno kind of speculates. But more to be determined there. They still have to find it first. And they have to be insane. And they have to stay that way.
Yeah, no sanity around here. Lost that a while ago. Checking down, folks. Eventually, Denji finds the heart of the Eternity Devil and is able to kill it off after fighting for 3 days straight without sleep. Talk about screws loose. But what did you guys think of being able to fight for 3 days? And how does this compare to like other MC fights?
I mean, I really liked the passing of time here because it was not very obvious to us, I don't think, as the audience. It was like he dove in, and he is fighting this Eternity Devil, so maybe time is acting a little bit differently than it would outside of this death hotel that they're in. But the only thing that made it kind of apparent until somebody actually said something, I think, were like the bags under like Himeno's eyes. And then she turns around and like everybody's doing kind of bad. And they're like, how long has it been? And for us, it's only been 30 seconds, 3 days. So definitely kind of impressive that Denji can go that long considering the strain that it probably puts his body under. But it seemed like he was getting strength by consuming this Eternity Devil. And also, like we just said, probably getting strength from the fear that this Eternity Devil was like feeling as well. So if anything, Denji probably got more powerful, but everybody else clearly needs a break. So hope that they get to take that. As far as comparing it to other shonen fights, there aren't too many that handle things this quickly. Actually, the only show that I can think of that has handled anything as rapidly as like this transition happened is probably Demon Slayer. So let's chalk that up to the first mention today. But like Tanjiro's training arc.
From Emily.
Tanjiro's training arc was fast as hell. And obviously that wasn't a fight. Demon Slayer is definitely, definitely more heavy on the fights than the training. Interestingly enough, given the arc we're about to get. love everything that we get. But this is kind of fun because it was the actual fight. As opposed to another show that I love. And I do love it, but I'll give the Hunter x Hunter reference here, where it's like, we've been watching an entire, like, 10 arc 10 episode arc, and then they're like, and now 15 seconds have passed. And it's like, there's this spectrum, and this fight is on the opposite end of that spectrum. And we love both of them in this house, but I'll just leave that there.
I mean, in early season one of Demon Slayer, once Tanjiro went on his missions, there was plenty of fights that happened in the span of like an episode and a half. However, those were all obviously just in one night, so nothing took the whole 3 days, which is pretty incredible. I think it speaks for Denji's growth, maybe, you know? And yes, I think mostly he was able to do it because he this fight was like perfect for him, because he just had an unending amount of flesh that he could just snack on the entire time and keep going and have fun with it. So yeah, he definitely had a few screws loose himself as well to be able to do that for 3 whole days. And I did like how it was just like a suddenly we see that it's been 3 days, and we can just see it in the faces of like, or like the face of Himeno, and she's just like and my favorite thing was when she walked into Aki's room and went, "Are you still alive?" And I was like, yeah, someone should check on him, because he got stabbed with zero medical treatment now. It's been 3 days. Is he alive? Because he's just laying there like... I don't know why I found that funny, but I did.
Honestly, that was perfect. Just like Aki being a proper boy, just like laying there, just like, yep, I'm here. We're doing great.
He's on his Victorian child plague shit.
No.
That's funny. Oh, man. Woo. All right. Well, alas, a break in the action. So we finally make it out of the death hotel, and they get outside. And we finally get to see them actually in somewhat of a normal setting, if you will, because the team gets to go to dinner. Now, how does everyone's behavior at dinner strike you, and kind of which person struck you the most?
Side note, I thought it was hilarious that we were going from this like, oh, it's been 3 days, this is like dire, these people are going to die without food or water, to Denji being like, found your heart, like, I could keep going, why are you so scared? And then it just goes to the door opening, and they're just all standing there. I was like, okay, they're good, all right, we're cool. It was just funny. To answer your question, though, a lot of new characters, I cannot remember them all, but... I don't feel like anything really, like, wasn't... There's nothing that I, like, super noticed more than anyone else outside of the fact that, obviously, like, Himeno just wants to drink and she's slowly getting more and more intoxicated. And then she finds out that Denji is 16 and goes, oh, you're young! It's like, yeah, be careful, ma'am! But I did like the one lady who was next to Kobeni. I thought she was just, like, really sweet to her, and, like, it was nice. And it was nice to see, like, someone just be, like, kind to her, because I think that's what Kobeni needs, is for people to just be nice to her. And then we find out that one guy, all of his rookies died, like, yesterday. And I was like, oh, casual, just, oh, yeah, they all died yesterday. Cool.
A day in the life.
Literally.
Well... last day of their life. In the life for him. Very bad. Very, very bad. Sorry, Brian. Oh, we have to laugh through the pain. We have to laugh through the pain, or else we will also be having a couple screws loose. Might already be the case, let's be honest. I think the person who struck me the most at dinner was, at first, probably Power, because she's so funny. She's like, they're, like, ordering all this food, and she's like, nobody shall touch my sashimi. And then Kobeni comes in and is, like, ready to eat. She's like, don't you even think about touching this chicken. This Kentucky Fried mess is mine. She is just like having the time of her life, which is also funny because she really didn't like the like people food a couple episodes ago, and now she's like going absolutely hog wild for it. So I loved that. I thought she was hysterical. But then I do think that for me, the person who steals the scene, even though I don't know that I like them every time, is Makima coming in, because she comes in like so quietly, you don't know that she's there, and then she's like immediately like all up in Denji's business. She's like, what's this about a kiss? And then she's like, you just like can't take your eyes off of her for the rest of the time because she's so eerie. So I think that those two stood out the most.
Yeah, and then kind of talking about some of the stuff that Makima brought up at dinner, she's like, if you can outdrink me, I'll tell you why it's so important that Denji stays alive for the Gun Devil, and they both try to outdrink her. And like, I found that part really interesting because she's like, I'll have two more beers, please. And she's just knocking them back like no other, and she's completely fine. And she's drinking them under the table. Like, it's kind of scary what Makima can do, because it doesn't seem like anything she would do.
No. And they're big, too. I'd be messed up off of, like, half of one.
Yeah, I was thinking, I'm like, I would have one, and I would be, like, Himeno level. Like, whee!
Careful. LOL. We're getting close. You want to be Himeno level?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, well, then we roll around to the scene where Denji swallows the puke.
I said my least favorite scene was also in this episode, and this, maybe this just speaks to, like, me being, like, relatively sheltered with media, but this is one of the nastiest scenes I've seen in, like, an anime ever. And actually, I can't believe I'm gonna say this, but I will put it on the record that I am grateful that this was censored in the anime, because in the manga, it is not. It is disgusting. Disgusting.
I'll be real. I 100% skipped over this scene when I rewatched it today because I was not in the mood. And this scene itself has scarred me, because now I'm literally scared to eat while I watch any anime. If any other anime pulls something like that ever again, I especially will never eat while I watch Chainsaw Man, because it did it once, it's probably gonna do it again at some point. So I have a queasy stomach. I can't do that type of like grossness. That is the kind where I'm like, yep, we're skipping, okay, and we're now outside the restaurant, all good.
And let me just jump back in and say, like, something that I did forget about, but that was so funny to me watching it the second time, was when Denji's, like, trying to cleanse himself in the bar bathroom after, and I don't remember that guy's name, but the guy that's, like, in the stall, like, rubbing his back with him before that is like, yeah, he's like, that's trauma. He's like, that's traumatic. Like, watching it happen. I'm like, that's not helpful at all, but it's just so funny, and that's what all of us are thinking. He's us.
Especially if that's your first one.
I know, his first kiss.
That sucks, man.
Himeno was like, the first thing she was worried about, which, by the way, like, there's a list of other things to be worried about if Denji's underage, but she's like, were you drinking? Because he's, like, not old enough to order a beer. And he's like, no, I got tea. So he was sober for that.
Yeah.
Oof.
Anyway.
Big rips.
That's trauma.
As episode 7 wraps, we get kind of a weird scene. How does this scene read to us as Americans? If it all reads well.
Not good. That's it.
That's the tweet.
Not good. Not great. But the discourse around this, I think, is interesting and has evolved a little bit in recent years, because 15 years ago, if it had been this same situation, And honestly, there are even some people still now, but where it is this younger guy and an older woman and not like the reverse situation, then I think 15 years ago it would have been something that a lot of people wouldn't even bat an eyelash at as much as maybe now, which hopefully is a sign of progress. But yeah, definitely, definitely uncomfortable and weird.
Okay. Well, the credits roll. I don't have anything to say about that scene. And honestly, the credits roll, and we get a lot of cool things, whether it be Poster Girl Jimeno or the Rainbow Puke. Did anything stick out to you in this ending credit?
I really liked, like, the style that it was animated in. It was very 90s, like, you know, very gritty. It looked like some, like almost a recording of if you were watching Chainsaw Man in, like, 2004 on Adult Swim or something like that. That very, like, Neon Genesis kind of, like, 90s art style, and, like, the video game screen was really fun. Yeah, I really liked it. I thought that it was interesting to have it occur after this episode with a, like, and especially with the episode ending on that note, but I thought that it actually kind of felt like it lined up with the bar scene, because it felt almost like an Atari or like an arcade game kind of thing, like watching that happen on the screen, something that might be in like a dingy old bar like that.
Episode 8's intro is the same scene, but from Jimeno's point of view, and this time, which is interesting because we see her carry Denji inside and we see it a little bit differently. Did you see the scene any differently when you saw it from Jimeno's eyes?
I don't know if I saw it differently. I just saw that Jimeno is very lonely. Like, that's just the way I read the situation is, like, yes, she was blackout drunk, but just, like, kind of walking through her getting there with Denji on her back and everything, I don't know why. I just got the vibes of, like, man, she's like, lonely. And that does not excuse the actions that she takes during this. However, it makes sense for someone working a job like that. And, you know, she's always wanting to drink. She clearly is into Aki. You know, it just kind of all made sense in that moment. And it was like, okay, this is definitely what a lonely drunk person would probably try to do, in my opinion.
I think that's fair. I don't know that I saw it differently either, but I like when we get multiple POVs in like any media, but it's really interesting in anime, especially because it was like, at least for a few moments, like literal first person POV, seeing through her eyes, which is not very common in like a lot of animated formats, but I think that it helped convey the loneliness that Hannah's mentioning, and also like the drunken state that she was in, the forgetfulness. So yeah, I don't know if it made me feel differently about the content, but considering what the content was, I also just thought it was so beautiful. It was like so beautifully animated, all these like really unique shots, and like the framing, whether it's like seeing her like indirectly, like in a mirror that's hanging in the room. I was like, this is just so cinematic again, even for a scene like this. And it, you know, we've said this, but MAPPA's like just really at their best in putting together this show. It looks so, so good.
It was very artsy for a drunken scene.
Yeah, for blackout drunk. Sure was something. So then we get the lollipop story to interrupt our sex scene, and how Denji got his first indirect kiss with Makima. What did you all think of the way Makima presented the lollipop to him in this entire situation?
She has such a way with words, at least words that like speak to Denji. And even if like everything that she says sounds like kind of basic, I don't think that he's heard any of this before. And so for him, this is like maybe some of the first comfort he's gotten from somebody ever, which is really sad. because he starts by saying, like, am I going to be conditioned now that, like, every time I go to kiss somebody, I'm going to think of puke? And she's like, well, you might, but you also might not, because you have a lot of things to learn, a lot of experiences to have. And in sharing all that, I feel like she insinuates, like, and I'm still on the table. Like, the bet's not off. I'm not mad at you, kind of thing. I'm not disappointed in you. And now, like, here is your first indirect kiss. And lollipops are interesting. There is something, I think, like, I don't want to say, like, inherently sexual, but there's definitely innuendos, especially given the context of the rest of the show. And so her just, like, popping it into his mouth is, like, enough, I think, to get him kind of riled up, but it's still indirect and discreet enough that she maintains, like, a healthy distance. But she's, like, really good at manipulating and almost brainwashing him, saying, like, and now, even though you feel conditioned, like, to this, now your first indirect kiss is going to taste like a sweet lollipop instead. And maybe that's what you can remember from tonight instead. So she's good.
Oh, she's very good. Definitely. Yeah, I think that, first of all, Denji's mention of... It kind of sucks for him, because his first fondle was not great. And then this was even worse. It's like all of his first times have just been really sucky. And I hope that for him, whatever comes in the future is good. But that being said, I agree with Emily that, once again, Makima is just being the master of manipulation here right now. And she very much knows how to make Denji feel better. One thing I did notice, though, is the way she worded it, at least inside her head, when she was saying, like, yeah, you probably will always remember this as your first one. And then she said something along the lines of, like, but, you know, you still have a lot to learn. I wonder what else you're going to experience. To me, almost inherently really showed how much she genuinely thinks that he can beat the Gun Devil. Because I feel like she genuinely sees a future for him when that might not be the case for a lot of the other people on this show. So kind of an interesting little bit that I found here, but still very manipulative, as per usual. It's Makima.
Yeah, Makima certainly has a way with which she handles things, and I think it's really interesting the way she plays her cards or what she holds to her chest. So I like the way that she's presented as this controlling figure, if you will. But after our interesting duo wake up, Himeno and Denji make a pact to help each other lock down their sought-after lovers. What do you think of this little cute alliance?
It was adorable. I like that she was like, you also, that means, you know, that we're not coworkers anymore, that we're friends. And interestingly enough, I tried to listen into what she was actually saying in Japanese. And she, I think she more along the lines was like, stop calling me senpai because now I'm your friend, essentially. And that's really sweet. That's really, you know, I think for her, it's a little bit different because once again, she's very standoffish with most people within this group because people die left and right. But we already saw that she noticed that he like fits the bill of completely insane. So I think she genuinely thinks that he'll survive. And now she's like, all right, let's be friends. Let's do this. I want Aki. You want Makima. Let's figure it out together. Let's be our besties while we try and get with the people that we got the hots for. And it was like, it was so realistic. And I guess that's one of the things that I like about this show is that like these characters are in this job that's life or death. You know, you never know what day could be your last, but foreshadowing, you know, what's going to happen in a few moments here. But it's nice that these characters have these like genuine conversations with each other about like, oh, who do you want to get with? Like who do you want your boyfriend or girlfriend to be? And it's just kind of like fun to see that in this context.
Agreed. I think that their dynamic now is really fun and I'm really relieved that it turned out this way and that what I think we were worried was going to happen did not. And instead it can be like a much more innocent and like playful friendship than, yeah, that it can become that. And they're both funny. Like, even though, like, everything that had happened the night before is traumatic, starting at the bar, this is, like, one of the cute, like, funny sequences. And I did not watch it dubbed this time, but the dub version of this scene is so, so funny. Where she's like, "You really like Miss Makima." He's like, "Yes." And I'm like, we've got to give a shout out to that choice. That is definitely a choice. And it was so funny. But yes. It's funny in the sub too. Yes.
Yeah, in the sub he was like, "Hi."
Hi. Daisuke. Something like that. But maybe one of the funniest dub moments ever. It's up there. And they bring that out in each other. And so it's like, oh, these two are like, maybe not insane in the same ways, but they're funny in similar ways. And I think that their dynamic could be really cute moving forward. Will she actually be able to help him get anywhere with Makima? Probably not. Can he help her get somewhere with Aki? Maybe. Also, probably not. I feel like he might accidentally sabotage that. So we'll see. But love the idea. Love the concept.
Yeah, it was a really cute scene. And I do agree that was super funny because I did watch both these episodes in English. That was just on point. We cut to Makima in a train car with a coworker, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she gets shot. Intro the weirdly calm music for such a violent sequence and scene. How did this scene sit with you, and how did the music make it feel so contrasting for you?
I love whenever there's a choice like this made in media, too. Anytime there's, like, really beautiful music and something really grotesque happening, I think it's really interesting. Likewise, if you're hearing something that's really grotesque, but what's happening that you're seeing is beautiful, I just think that that makes for, like, a really interesting scene. So, I love all the choices. Again, MAPPA's at their best. This whole episode is just, like, so incredible looking. And the first time I watched this, I was shook. I had no idea that this was coming, and I was like, oh my god, like I don't know what they're gonna do. Makima's like the ringleader, and it wasn't just her, it was like multiple people, and then we're seeing like all over, like every, like all these hunters are getting sabotaged, and they're just like sitting in some like cheap ass ramen shop and like not knowing, but inevitably, it seems like this camera is making us feel uneasy and like guiding us to the fact that like they're probably next. So I thought it was just like really masterfully done, and it helped to build a lot of tension really, really quickly and not give a lot of context or any hints on what was going to happen next.
Yeah, the first time I watched this, when it happened, I think I legitimately like jumped out of my skin because it was just so unexpected. Now, I will say, the buildup to it happening on the train, definitely something was happening, you know, like all the people around them like kind of slumped over or whatever happened, and it was very quiet and there was no music playing at first or something like that. And usually when that happens, like I'm like on alert, you know, like something's gonna happen. And then it still shocked me because Makima is like this super powerful person, you know, we haven't actually seen her fight, but we can very much understand just from the way that she's written that she is extremely powerful with, you know, everything from the manipulation and the smarts to being able to hold her liquor. It almost seems like she's just like, she's got it all, you know? So to see what feels like her just getting taken out like that, you know, a speeding bullet, you know, there's not much you can do about that. When it comes up on you quick, then, and it goes through your head, you're done. Like, that's it. So pretty crazy. And I also do like it when they choose to play like very calm music or very beautiful music in a very eerie moment, because I think that's just such a way to make you feel even more like, oh my gosh. And it gets your attention. It makes sure that you are watching that screen without blinking, without breathing, because that's the situation that we're in. That's what the creators of this anime and the manga like want you to feel, and they did that expertly here.
Yeah, this scene was almost disturbing to me. Like, it makes me like cringe just a little bit when there's like that beautiful music. Emily, I know you found it really interesting, but I was like a little bit cringy because like I almost, it's not that it sullies the music, but it gives me such unsettling vibes. And that's what I think is like really like kind of what Hannah said, like tying into that, like what makes me not like look away, which makes me glued to my screen. And like I was watching this last night and I was like trying to write as I'm watching the episode, but then I was like stopped and for like a good 3 minutes like looking at the screen, and I was just like, damn, that just happened. And so it's just a really cool way to see this like scene progress. But we also see, so we do see Denji get shot as well, so he's out of the fight. So lights, camera, and action, because it's off to the races with a fight scene. And we finally get to see Aki use his nail too, which I thought was super cool.
Yeah, we saw what that means, what it uses. And I'll admit, the first time seeing it, it's a little bit difficult to fully understand exactly what's happening, but it was very, very cool to see. But everything that led up to this was just insanity, you know, seeing all of these people turn on all the other characters that we just met. They're like, ha ha ha, enjoy some new characters, ha ha ha, they're all dying. It's so shonen anime. I think that's why I fell in love with Haikyuu during my first watch this month. I was like, ah, no one's dying, yay, they're just playing volleyball. If they lose, they just go home. But just everything that led up to it was a continuation of how eerie the scene on the train with Makima was, and just seeing all these people turn on them, including this like old lady that you just don't expect. And then the man in the ramen shop like was talking to them, which I don't know if people know this, but like that's unheard of in Japan. Like if someone at a restaurant at a different table that you don't know like starts talking to you, like that is very weird, because strangers don't small talk at all there. No one like wants to, staff doesn't even talk to you. Staff doesn't even try to like have small talk with you. You have to like say, excuse me, to get their attention. So that was like very eerie just in itself, because it's like, why is this man just sitting there talking to them? Like, you know that he's up to something. And then it seems like he knew Denji and then shot him in the head and then shot Himeno. So everything in this scene was just like, oh my gosh, like we were just chilling in a bar, you know, and now we're doing this. So I liked Aki's abilities. I'm excited to see it more though, because I want to like understand it a little bit better.
Yes, I definitely want to see it more too, but I was very struck because I thought that it was like fully a katana. So it's interesting that they like switched to it being like, at least the verbiage being like, it's a nail now. And so that combined with the fact that he's using it to then summon a curse devil, and that it has to like be hammered in 3 times to the victim before it's gonna work, I was like, oh my god. I was like, is he turning them into like a human voodoo doll? Like, and it explains like, if you can somehow like land a curse on somebody, then I think it makes sense that what he had to give in exchange was so high. So this is our first time seeing it, and for his sake, I hope we don't see it too much more, but definitely one of the more interesting techniques, I think, that we've seen so far, because there's multiple steps involved in making it work, as opposed to, like, Denji yanks on his string on his chest and comes to life like a real boy. He can't do that right now because he got shot in the head. Hopefully he's okay. Any other show would be like, I don't know. Like, he wasn't okay. We don't get to find out right away here. And Himeno got shot too, so Power's trying to help her first, because they're like, well, Denji will probably be fine. I like that Aki was like not even worried about that. He's like, go take care of Himeno. And then he's having this fight. And what's interesting also about this fight is that this person that has appeared that was engaging in that small talk is also kind of the most similar to a creature like Denji that we've seen so far. Their appearances are very, very similar, which is not like other devils. So it seems like this is like a human devil hybrid, kind of like whatever Denji is. Not quite a fiend, not quite a human, not quite a devil. somewhere in the middle, but it looks like he is made of katanas or swords. And obviously that's quite intimidating too, and the speed is what is really haunting here. How quickly he's able to get like a one-up on everybody between his physical transformation and the gun that he brought to the sword fight.
Not the gun to the sword fight.
Oh. America breathing first form.
Oof.
And what's interesting, before we completely jump away from that, is Aki says something about that too. Because, guess what, guys? It's not a thing other places. He's like, nobody should be able to get one of those except for us or the police. So, just goes to show how scary it really is for somebody to bust out a Glock in the middle of broad daylight.
Yeah, completely shocks them. It has a bigger shock factor there because it's like, how did you get this?
And then here we are in the wild, wild west of Arizona, and I've literally been working at Starbucks, and I've seen people fully brandished in the middle of my store, and I can't say anything.
And he's like, the only reason, well, he didn't say this, I am postulating here, but he's like, by the way, my grandpa was a Yakuza. And I'm like, okay, well, that could be it. That could be it.
He was a good guy. He only killed a few women and children.
And he felt bad about it the whole time. And then you got the people here just walking into Starbucks with a Yakuza gun. I digress.
We see... unfortunately, we do see Aki fall at a certain point, and Himeno decides to give her all. What did you guys think of this?
I mean, this sucks. This was really devastating and also unexpected for me the first time watching it. This like new devil moves so quickly that Aki gets hit, and it happens so fast that we don't even really see the moment of impact. We just see the after effects. And then we see Himeno try to save the person that she loves, which results in, it's like, it's almost not even a death. It's like a disappearance. She has a contract with this ghost devil that then appears and offers everything she's got, which we see then is literally her entire being disappear. And to say that that was unexpected also would be an understatement.
Yeah, this scene absolutely, I don't know if it wrecked me, but it was just, we just had breakfast with Himeno and Denji, you know, 5 minutes ago, and they're talking about forming an alliance and being friends and stuff, and it just shows how quickly things can change for them in this situation. And it's hauntingly beautiful that she, in her last moments, like, gives everything to try and save Aki, who took such a also fatal wound, because I think she came to the conclusion that, like, the wound that she had, she just wasn't going to be able to get medical attention quick enough, and so she was like, all right, like, I'm already going to die, I might as well do it saving Aki. And it's beautiful, but it's hard to watch because you don't ever want to see that happen, especially since she's such a new character. We just got introduced to her in episode 5, really, and she was just beginning to get really interesting. You know, we got a lot of story about her, but that's the reality of the world that they live in, but also the reality of watching shonen anime is you have to be on your guard and ready for this to happen at any time. But it was a very beautiful scene, and I thought the ghost in its full form was also hauntingly beautiful, because it was, the design of it was interesting. I think it was supposed to kind of look ugly, but I found it almost to be like, it's like a guardian ghost almost to try and protect. And watching her arms disappear and then eventually her whole body, and of course this whole time she's also saying like, Aki, I never understood why you cried, whatever, you know, when people died, and I hope you'll cry for me. And, oh, I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah, that was really sad watching Himeno go, especially because she was, like, so fresh for the show. Like, she was the, I feel like she was the one with the most positive and, like, somewhat of a normal outlook, even though she, like, definitely had that, like, Devil Hunter mindset of being a screw loose or two. She still had, like, the most normal outlook in regards to, like, living a regular life, going out and getting drinks, or, like, trying to get Aki in into the private sector and, like, live a normal life. So, definitely really sad to watch her go. But ultimately, her efforts were really fruitless as the snake devil appears and eats her ghost devil. What did you all think of, like, what have you guys thought about the variety of devils we've seen so far, and which has been your favorite?
As far as devils go and favorite, I don't know. I really like, I like Kon. I like the fox devil that Aki has. Not, I know that's such a basic bitch answer, but I really, really enjoy. Also, side note, the fox devil, like, telling Aki, like, what you put in my mouth is not, like, it's neither human nor devil or whatever. And then that's when, like, the katana devil, whatever you want to call him, like, shout out. Amazing. Anyway, that's probably my favorite devil, but very, very interesting situation. Denji, we haven't seen for a moment, so I would assume that he's gonna pop up at some point, because it seems pretty dire, because Himeno was giving it her all and literally gave that ghost devil her entire being, and the snake just came and gobbled it up. So, not good, not a great way to end this episode.
Yeah, not ideal. Not ideal. It's hard for me to say if I have a favorite, because I don't know that I like any of them, if that makes sense. Like, they're all kind of gross, but I can talk about the ones that I think are the most interesting. I actually also really love the design of the fox devil and this, like, the cone appearance, because it happens so quickly. And anytime there's, like, these white foxes or, like, white wolves that show up, I'm always just reminded of, like, the design of Princess Mononoke. So I love how it looks. I think if I have to pick visually a favorite, that's probably it. It's easy on the eyes. The one that I think has been the most interesting concept so far, even if I didn't like it, is probably the Infinity Devil. I think that's probably one of the scariest devils we've come face to face with, and like the build up to that I thought was the most unique out of anybody so far, because it was like all this time of figuring out that they're like going in these loops without ever actually like interacting beyond that very first, like, very easy moment. And so like they're trying to have to piece it together. I thought that was a really interesting way to build that fear and tension without like just a massive crazy fight. I thought that was pretty cool. And the last one I'm going to mention, you didn't ask for three, but I'm giving you three. We haven't really seen them yet, but I'm interested in the Gun Devil, of course. And I'm curious because of how this episode ended with a lot of people with guns, a lot of shootings happening in a lot of different places. Like, how, if at all, did that devil play a role in making this happen?
Yeah, really great answers, both of you. And first off, the fox devil is not a basic bitch answer, because I'll give an honorary mention to the fox devil. But visually and design wise, I really love the bat devil. It reminds me of a character in Magic the Gathering, so it does have a spot in my heart for that. So I'll say that and leave that there. Do you guys have anything else before we go to favorite moments? Okay. Well, my favorite moment of this episode, we actually did already talk about. It was the moment when the fox devil said to Aki that you've put something terrible in my mouth, and the katana devil just pops out. I thought that that was so sick. That was just so cool watching that happen.
I think even though this might be controversial. I think my favorite is the scene on the train of Makima getting shot, and like the moment that this chaos begins to unfold, because it was so unexpected for me the first time that I was like anytime you kind of think that maybe you know where this show is going, I feel like it turns things on its head, and it's usually in a pretty good and interesting way. So even though I don't know that I liked that scene, I think it was the most impactful, and so it was my favorite.
Both good answers. Sorry, Brian, I kind of ruined yours to call it out, but I'll go back to just almost a funny moment, and it was when they got out of the hotel. I just loved how it went from like super dire situation. They're literally like about to die because they've gone 3 days without food, and you know, Aki had a stab wound, and I don't really know how he was still alive, to Denji being like, "This is your heart, I found it, blah 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 blah," and then he slices it and then ding. I really enjoyed that scene. Just the way it was set up was like really, really funny, and I have to call it out because it was just so funny.
All right, well, that's all we have for today, folks. So if you like today's episode on Spotify, go ahead and give us that 5-star rating and download the podcast. That always helps us go off, and hopefully we'll one day pop off. But we pop off every episode, so I don't know. Maybe you'll see more of that. If you want to follow us on Instagram and or TikTok, you can get us at Hashira Half Hour. On X, we're at Hashira Half. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and hit the bell icon and give us a like if you will. But that's all we have for today. So with that being said, kon.
Kon.
Kon.